All right, open your Bibles to Psalms, please. Psalm, 126, if you would. And I have some notes for everyone, so Isaac, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Nia, do you have something for me too? Nia, don't be like your dad. He's bad. All right, let's all stand, please. By the way, some of you probably will recognize we started this in the Sunday school 2 weeks ago. We're going to finish it tonight. I will bullet point the early stuff. There's nothing deep tonight. As we preface reading the scripture, I have a question. So I'm going to ask the question for those men who have traveled a lot, in which the travelers are all gone tonight, except Jim. Jim, did you have a go bag, meaning you had a bag and then you boom, 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 boom. You knew what you had.
I had two, one in the office and one in the
And they were packed at all times.
You had them all ready to go, and they had everything, mm-hmm. Well, not everything, but most everything you could possibly need. Have you experienced being someplace and you didn't have what you need? Mm-hmm. By the way, if it's America, it's not a problem. You just go to Walmart. What if you're in a place that doesn't have a Walmart? So I'm going to tell you an experience, and I'm not going to tell you all of it because it has a bad ending. Sorry. One night, it's my last full night there. We have a special meal for all of the students. I'll say this probably next Sunday. Because this year, for the first time in the Philippines, I have to pay for a hotel. And I pay for a lot of food. Here, they had a place for me, and they fed me every day. So I did have one day we took a select group out to eat. But the last night, on a Tuesday night, and I left on Wednesday, I could use the money, 134 of us. And here's the normal student's meal in India. They have rice and vegetables, and 3 days a week, one meal of those 3 days a week, they get chicken. Did y'all hear me? That means no ice cream. You know, it's... Now, I think if our Africans were here, many of them were in, what do they call those places? Schools like that. Ade has talked about the school they went to. He says the rice and beans always had the big bugs in it, so he says just extra protein, you know. Yeah. Now you say, why do I say that? It was a beautiful night. You'll see the beautiful night, Lord willing, next week. Here is my point. We're done. All of us are dispersing. I'm going back to the room. It's been a beautiful day. And they had a guard dog that was a hyper guard dog. And the building, the dog went up to the second or third floor, we do not know why, and jumped out. And I'll say it kindly, eventually died. Broke a bunch of ribs, legs. It was terrible. Well, of course, the pastor, Matthew's son, loved that dog, went over to the dog, and the dog bit him bad in the hand. In my go bag, triple antibiotic. Say, what is that? I take it every place I go. Do you know why? Because they don't have it most places. And if you get a cut out here and it's hot and it gets infected, it's ugly. I gave it to him. Would you believe he never got red or anything on his big, and it was ugly here. Here's my question. These psalms, do we really need these psalms? Well, they are a collection, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, and we're going to read two of them. And by the way, they're a weird collection. And does anybody know why they're weird? Because you need different things on your journey. So Nia here, sweet, well, she's always been sweet until she won't share her dessert with me. She's in a different place than I am. And the things that I need are not the things that people that have children need. Life moves on. Psalm 126. I love this psalm. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, or the nations, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A song about what God does, and sometimes in a tough spot or a bad spot, and God delivers us in one way or another. Psalm 127, verse 1. By the way, these are some of the psalms that are the pilgrim psalms. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children, or behold, children, are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Can I say this to everybody before we pray? You couldn't have two more different psalms. One psalm is about being filled with laughter and enjoyment as God delivers you. The other one's talking about family life. And God has to build a family and has to... Why? What kind of journey are you on? Is that journey going to be the same today as it is next month? That journey is constantly changing. Talking to Dietmar, we had a great conversation. You could tell if you're around him 3 minutes. That's a man that's always been on top of life. He's a disciplined man. And by the way, he came to a place where he couldn't take care of his own wife. Do you understand what that means? Look me in the eyes, everybody that's sleeping. You're going to come to the place where you can't take care of you. Actually, you can't take care of you right now. You just think you can. Well, we're going to look at the Psalms for the journey, and by 7 o'clock, you're going to have to hurry because we're going to be done. Let's pray. Father, thank you in this night. May you bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. In your notes, by the way, folks, I've already taught the first page or more, so I'm just going to say these, and if you have time to fill it in, fine, and if you don't, please just don't fill it in. We find in these Psalms from chapter 120 to 134 a subset of the Psalms. It is a collection. They're variously called pilgrim Psalms. They're, you know, that's the whole idea. They're oftentimes called that because they each have this title. So in your notes, it is Psalms 120 to 134. So it's a total of 15 of the Psalms that are collected as a collection. So it was used for the purpose of, mostly a journey we'll look at in a moment. All with the superscription, at least in English, of a song of degrees, or if you use the ESV, a song of ascents. And I want to say this to everybody, I don't care which version you use, neither word is self-explanatory. You could read that 1,000 times and think, ascents? Plural? What does that even mean? But these are songs that deal with movement, really, in your notes. This, of course, is the first verse in the Hebrew text, which is a little confusing sometimes. Not to you, but it is to me. In your notes next, the meaning of the Hebrew word, which is the in King James degrees, in ESV ascents, I don't care which it is because both are correct. The Hebrew word ma'alah, which is hamalot, it's always with the article and plural in Hebrew, the ascents, plural. It's a pretty straightforward word. But it's not obvious in the text. It means stairs, steps, degrees, ascents, meaning ascending up, ascending of a sundial, things that go or come up. One time, I don't have it in the notes, it was used for thoughts. Have you ever had a thought just come up to you? You know, just come on, you know, that was the idea. So, but basically, these psalms in your notes is simply this. It was a journey. Basically, I think the primary purpose is a journey to a higher place was the idea. Now, friends, I've already read some of these in the past. I will read none of them tonight because I've already done that. All of these are some of the references to different ways this is used. Like Joshua 10:10 talks about the way that goeth up, because that's the nature of the word. You're going up. A lot of times it's about stairs, it's about steps, it's about degrees of a sundial in 2 Kings 20. Those are some of the references. At the bottom, I say this, these were psalms with various authors, or at least maybe various authors. Some of them are known by David. Four of them are by David's, at least with David's name. One of them has Solomon's name to it. Everybody look at me. Which one has Solomon's name attached? Which one? And which one's about family? None of you are getting the humor? Solomon was a disaster as a parent. Now this is part of the question about what does it mean connecting this with Solomon. So underneath that, this is just for your information. All of these are, you know, they're prefaced with this lamed preposition, which means, you know, in some ways it means two by or four. We're not really sure who the, if these were, David was the author all the time. Some of the time David was the author. It was by David. Sometimes it's to David, you know, and I mean it's kind of like dedicated to him. Sometimes it might be like about David. And the King James, look at me, almost always says of David, which does what? For everybody's information, it leaves you try to figure out what it's about. Psalm 127, if I wanted to get advice on parenting, our marriage, who would you not ask? Well, he was wise. He just never followed any of his wisdom. Yes. All right, next page, please. Nothing deep there, friends. These were psalms from various eras. Obviously, they, you know, happened in various time periods. It doesn't give us any of the time periods. Psalm 126 could be something that was written after the captivity, after 586, potentially. But it's not specific enough to know, is it referring to the captivity to Babylon, or is it just referring to some kind of thing that beset God's people and God restored them? We don't know. So psalms from various eras, next. Psalms with various backgrounds. Various backgrounds, and of course, we don't know much about that. So I say that in your notes. Mostly, the eras and the backgrounds are not known, and sometimes they're not obvious. You really can't determine exactly where, when, and how this, where this came to be. But they do come from a range of times. Next, they were psalms collected for a very specific purpose. Last Sunday morning, in Sunday school, we talked about some people initially believed back in the 1500s, 1600s, Reformation, when people got serious about Scripture, they thought this was ascending in some kind of a poetic style. This is when we learned, for all of you that were not there, Dave Haas is an expert in music. Now, here is our problem. We don't know what the Psalms sounded like in a Jewish world. I wish we did. But we just don't have that information. So some people thought, well, maybe this is some kind of a way they sing, you know, sing. You know, they didn't know. That really didn't last very long. A second thought, and this is true, obviously, but not completely true, is it was ascending on the spiritual journey or on the spiritual growth. So maybe these were simply used to grow. And, of course, that would be obviously true. But as I say in your notes, that's obviously true for everything we do. I mean, all of the Psalms, there's 150, are meant to help you on your journey in one sense. Next, this is true only because we have it in Jewish writing, and therefore we're pretty sure that at sometimes Jewish priests did this while there was still a temple. Number three, the Jewish priests sang the 15 songs as they ascended the 15 steps, leading up from the court of the women to the court of Israel in the temple. So there were literally 15 steps, And in two different places in the Mishnah, it actually mentions priests doing this. I think that's a very good possibility. At least this was done. And let's look here, friend. We're going to come to what I think the whole purpose of all of this is. But think about this. Luke chapter 2. Every person in this room has read the story or heard it read. When Jesus was a boy, his family from Galilee in the north came to where? They came to Jerusalem. You read all the book of John, you're constantly reminded Jesus is going up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Everybody did this. So what I find interesting about this comment, and I'll make no more comments, it seems like maybe as the people of God made their way to Jerusalem for these three special events, the priest somewhat reflected that in walking up steps, singing the same songs the people had been singing coming. So maybe these both kind of merged together. I'm not going to read the Mishnah. I did that a couple weeks ago. Number four. And this is where we'll spend the rest of the evening, which is just 15 more minutes. The real big purpose, I believe, is this. These were psalms or songs, because that's what they are. Shir is the word for song. Psalms or songs pilgrims sang as they came up or ascended up to Jerusalem for the three great feasts. This seems, I say in your notes, to be the primary focus. It's maybe not the only use. So maybe the pilgrims used it as they went to Jerusalem, and the priests used it also. And I'm thinking also that point number five was also a secondary use later on. All right, in your notes, this seems to be the primary focus. A, Jerusalem was always, and we've said this about 100 times, Jerusalem was always what? Up. 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 Both physically and metaphorically. Do you ever read a book or read something and you know the author didn't know what they were talking about? I read an article by a good systematician. He's a good thinker. He's good biblically. He has no knowledge historically. And he said something about Herod's temple, which was the temple that Jesus looked at. By the way, in 33 AD, it still wasn't finished. It was more or less finished like 30 years later. He said this temple that Herod was building was destroyed in AD 70. Look at me, folks. Herod was dead in 4 BC. Just didn't know the history. If you read about Jerusalem and it doesn't talk about going up, you got a problem. Because Jerusalem is the highest point in Israel, and it is also metaphorically the spiritual center. Everything is up. So we sing the song. What page was that, Tim? You had the page. Grab your hymnals. Grab your hymnals. This song is it's a beautiful song. We will not sing it tonight. And I saw Karin getting nervous that I was going to sing. Karin, that will never happen. Don't worry about that. We're marching to Zion. I love this song because I think it was broadly based on these very concepts. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Did you just sing a psalm about joys? They're saying we're just consumed with laughter at what God has done. Join in a song of sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. Now, this is obviously metaphorical. It's not literal. But I think in one day in the future, it will be literal. Isaiah 2, Micah 5. I believe we in the kingdom will go to Jerusalem. It will be part of, how can I say, a pilgrimage? All right. So in your notes, Jerusalem was always up, both physically and metaphorically. John chapter 2, we'll look at it in your notes. It says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up. You had to go up to Jerusalem. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever studied Egypt? There's something in Egypt that drives me crazy. Jenny, you know because we've watched videos. Where's Upper Egypt at? It's in the south. What? Try to say that, saying it's like you look at a map and it's and you look in the look at me, you look in the upper part of Egypt, that's Lower Egypt. Why? Because it's physically lower. Upper Egypt's in the south. That just does it. Every time. Folks, I've been reading Egyptian history all my adult life. It drives me crazy because I'm always upper, upper, upper. Upper's lower. This is how I have to think. Upper is lower. That's crazy. Man, I know. It doesn't bother you at all, does it? You could care less. Okay. You always go up to Jerusalem. That's the point. John 5:1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. John 7, but the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. Verse 10, but when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up. I mean, it's just up, up, up. It's just constant refrain. It's the way it is. Down at the bottom, the last verse is Isaiah 2. Probably should read this whole text talking about the millennium, the Lord's kingdom. His house will be the very top, so to speak. It's going to be the up place. And it says, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. It's not Jerusalem. It's not the highest mountain in the world, not even close. But friends, in the spiritual sense, it's going to be the center. Of course, B, Jewish men in the Old Testament were required to go up to Jerusalem for three feasts. They were required to go up to Jerusalem for three feasts. Now, I want to say this. I don't know what happens today. Understand, this was when the people lived in the land. Folks, look up here. What happened in the New Testament when people were living in Parthia or Rome? Jewish people were all over the Mediterranean world and way beyond the Mediterranean world, out into modern-day Iran, probably the Jewish people that descended from the 10 northern tribes. Did they come three times a year? This is my answer. I doubt it. My guess is it was too cost prohibitive, and you didn't have time. It would have taken, if you're 1,000 miles away, how long would it take to walk there? Yeah. But they did come. So Jewish men were required, and really I think it's Jewish men, therefore families, were required to go up to Jerusalem for three feasts. Exodus tells us about these feasts. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days. I command thee in the time appointed in the month Abib, which is March, April. For in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And then it says in verse 16, and in the feast of harvest. And it's going to give you several names for these because these are connected to periods of time and things going on in the country. So in the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field. And here's the third feast, according to this text, the feast of ingathering, which is the end of the year. So they basically looked at the year. Everyone look at me. Jewish Bible has, the year has two beginnings. You have Rosh Hashanah, which is in the fall, and you have Passover, unleavened bread, in the spring. And they're both kind of considered the first part of the year. One's called the new year or the head of the year. The other one's called Passover, unleavened bread. But they were both very important. And in the middle of that, you have the very early ingathering of the crops and the harvest. All right? Exodus 34. Thrice in the year, three times, shall your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of the unleavened bread, which is connected to Passover, in the feast of weeks, 7 weeks later, and in the feast of tabernacles, or ingathering, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So basically, I'll just summarize this. The Jewish males were commanded, but I think it was kind of males were the leaders of the home, were to go up to Jerusalem, especially when they all lived in the Promised Land, which is not a big place. And they were to come, first of all, at Passover and unleavened bread. That's all connected. By the way, when you read the New Testament and you read about unleavened bread or you read about Passover, they're discussing the same thing. You know, it's like Christmas. We're going home for Christmas. You might not be there on Christmas Day. It's a season. Unleavened bread and Passover were closely connected, obviously. It's at the beginning, it's at the very beginning of the wheat harvest. So that had an element of why they started then, but not altogether. So it had both a natural phenomenon, but it also had the Passover, Pentecost. Pentecost means 50, Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks later. It's the end of the wheat harvest. So that was a very important thing. And then you have there's several feasts at the very end, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You also have Tabernacles, Sukkot. You have those three feasts that go on more or less the same period of time. So it's Rosh Hashanah, which means, by the way, Rosh Hashanah means? Rosh is the Hebrew word for head. Hashanah means year. It's the head of the year, the new year. But like I said, they kind of had two new years. Rosh Hashanah, new year, and mainly the Tabernacles is what we're looking at, which was the final aspect of the harvest season. We might talk about that more at a later time. Let's go to C. Does this all make sense to everybody? By the way, everyone look at me. You're going to understand some verses tonight that are so simple, and they're not commands to you. And may I say this, you're under no obligation to do it, though you could. We are allowed to still, not so much to, be Jewish, but we are allowed to still go to the feast and things. I mean, Paul did it his whole life. What's Pentecost to Paul? Well, see, this is one of the Jewish feasts. And it was a big thing to Paul, to, if possible, to be in Jerusalem. That was important to him. If you say, but he was Christian. But Christianity has its roots in Judaism. And you don't have to deny everything to be a Christian. In your notes, see, we obviously have examples of pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went up to Jerusalem every year. They went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So guess what? When he was 12 years old, he, the mother, children, but they didn't go by themselves. They went together. That's, may I say, what I like about this is everybody was going together. Friends, look at me. Do you know what I liked about DeMar and Wagen Connect? The same thing. If Tony and Rachel Cardenas showed up here tonight. We live in San Antonio. We live here. Or I could think of many good people. Romeo Mendoza and Rose. I could think of who's... Oh, my mind is not there. Who's the chief in California, Robert? Arnel De Leon and his lovely wife, Lenny. By the way, friends, if I see them any place on earth, guess what we're doing? We're still going to the same place, yes? And we're still going together. And that's what people did. They didn't decide, oh, I'm going to go to church, but I'm only going by myself. No, they took their family and they went with their extended family and their friends and their neighbors and everybody went there. You have that example. They're pilgrim psalms, not individual. By the way, it's not me and my little party. It's the whole group. So it says they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Well, no, because there's a whole bunch of them. They just assumed. Have you ever assumed that with your children? If you only got one child, it's not a problem. If you got nine children, you got a problem. It's real easy to leave one of them someplace. They're with their cousin. Yeah, all of a sudden. And it's interesting to think, how long did it take them to get where Nazareth, where they lived, to cross over the Jordan, come down, and come into Jerusalem? We don't know how long it took, but notice the language that it uses. So, verse 43, when they fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. So they went out a whole day. Didn't see Jesus probably till that night. And then they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days. So friends, it took time to get there. You didn't just get in your jet and fly. You had to walk. And you walked in groups. Here's a living, breathing example of doing this. So can I say this to you? Everybody look at me. The Psalms we read tonight, the Lord Jesus would have sang on the way to Jerusalem. And some of them, you can feel why they sang them. I will look into the hills. From whence cometh my help? You're looking to the hills looking for what? People that might try to do you harm on the journey. From whence cometh my help cometh? Do you not know the psalm? My help cometh from the Lord. Friends, these aren't jokes. These are real people traveling to Jerusalem from various places, worrying about, oh, by the way, what do you want to do to a caravan? Well, caravan has to take supplies. And if there's supplies, maybe we can rob them. I mean, folks, that's the nature of the travel. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost technically means 50th, the day of Pentecost was fully come. It says, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Well, that's not shocking, but no, it's where they're from. Devout men out of every nation under heaven. Look at me. Why were they there? Answer the question. Why were they there? It was one of the feasts. They were supposed to go to Jerusalem. Now, this is my understanding. We have no proof. I do not think they went to Jerusalem three times a year at this time. If you were in Rome, unless you were exceptionally wealthy and didn't have to work, because it would take a long time to get from Rome to Jerusalem, you might have done this one time in a lifetime. If you were a normal person, maybe if you were wealthy, you could do it every year. But you're not going from Rome to Jerusalem. But they had huge feast days. From my understanding, Jerusalem was a little bitty town. Jerusalem would have been something like Beach Park, and maybe Zion combined, 30, 40,000, I'm not sure. But on feast days, 250,000. Some people estimate even bigger at some feast. Can you imagine? You got this little town. We think of Jerusalem, biggest town on earth. But it was a small town, and people came there for the feast. By the way, and there's people from every place. Look what it says. It goes on to describe these people. It says in verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own Greek is dialect. And they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? These are just white people from America. How do they know these languages? Verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? I mean, extremely, not only in our dialect, that's that heart language that you learn from your mother at home. And then it lists, there were people for the Feast of Pentecost from Parthia, that's modern-day Iran, Medes and Elamites, those would primarily be modern-day from Mesopotamia, some from Iran, dwellers in Mesopotamia, or Mesopotamia, if I want to say it properly, Judea, Cappadocia, that's modern-day Turkey, Pontus is modern-day Turkey, Asia was a Roman province, modern-day Turkey, Phrygia, the same, Pamphylia, another, there were people from Egypt, there were people from what? Libya? Around Cyrene, which had of course been a Punic or a Carthaginian colony, and then it was a Greek colony, and now it was a Roman place, and there were strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be where? For Pentecost. That was still important to Paul. You say why? Culture, background, friendships, relationships. Now, friends, look at me and we're done tonight. There's one other option. I say it in your notes. You can read it on your own. But I want you, everybody look at me. This week, I would like to blame somebody, but I can't figure out who to blame. I did that which I never do. Walk downstairs. I usually have, I'm going to speak in Tagalog, slippers on. I usually have slippers on. I didn't put slippers on. You say, why? I don't boneheaded. Walk downstairs. I was going to get myself something to drink. For some reason, I thought I saw something through the blinds on the front porch, a box. So I thought, I'm going to get that box. I opened the front door. walked out on the porch. There was actually about three boxes there. Picked them all up. Some of them were Jenny's. One of them was mine or something. Took them in. And as I'm walking in from, I mean, it's not very far. You know, it would be like over there is the porch. And, you know, here is the table in the living room. And just there is the kitchen. And as I walk from here to the kitchen, my left foot right on the ball of the foot where the big toe is, it's like I must have stepped on a rock outside. And I still remember, and you know, what do you do if you have something stuck to the bottom of your foot? Pick my left foot up, and I rubbed it off. It wasn't a rock. Something had taken a slice about an inch long and a half inch wide out of the sole of my foot. Just like a razor sliced it. And when I dug out the rock, it was my skin. You say, how does it feel? I want to tell you what, it still hurts right now, right this point. You know why? Look at me. Didn't have shoes for the journey. Shouldn't have been outside without my sleepers on. Should have had something on my feet. Can I say this to you? We're going to start next Sunday night. Over the next months, we'll do some of this on Sunday morning. We're going to go through these Psalms because these Psalms help us know what to believe, sing, think about, meditate on for the journey. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. May this have been a helpful night. It's very simple things. None of this is deep, but all of this is important. We don't get enough the day we got saved to carry us through. Salvation introduces us to the relationship with you, which is then lived out, as the song says, day by day. Father, help us to keep that in mind. You only give us strength for today, and we have to use and participate and meditate and sing on the Psalms for the journey that you have set before us. Make it so, in Jesus' name.